Hey everybody, once again it's Bitnote. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. We got some fun stuff going on this week, so I'll talk about it. Have fun! Alright. First up, I want to thank everyone who listened to the my Zork playthrough last week. It was a bit of an experiment, and I got a bit of a reaction. So I'm glad that trying to do something different from time to time pays off and keeps things interesting. But we're going to go back to the traditional show now of just playing some more video game music. And in the future, we'll talk about looking at something else. Well, there was a very big event that happened this week. And it's going to impact on some of the songs I play. But before I do, I think I'm just going to play the music of a kind of a fairly old game for the PlayStation that I just finished playing this week. Have a listen to this. And that was from the game Crush by Zoemode. The exact music is from the level 7 Years Bad Luck, and the theme was done by Matt Koldrick, who actually made a pretty damn good soundtrack for this entire game. Crush is a game for the PlayStation Portable, or PSP, or what have you, and it's actually, there's been a recent kind of like remake, but just sort of like new revamped version for the 3D Nintendo 3DS called the called Crush 3D, and the idea is essentially, at least in the first game, what the gameplay in the two games is pretty much the same, even the levels. But the in the original PlayStation game, what happens is you're a guy who's been hospitalized for insomnia. And instead of therapy or just taking sleeping pills, which probably didn't work in any case, he basically finds this scientist with a highly experimental machine and who speaks with a German accent and keeps acting very strangely. So obviously the best thing to do is for him to plug his head right into this great big machine and try to figure out what's causing his insomnia. Yeah. The game is, well, it was unique at the time, and it's a concept that a lot of other games have done around similar, and even at the time for Paper Mario, where essentially it starts in a 3D world that you work around, but then suddenly you crush it into a 2D world. These worlds are meant to represent Danny's, who's the protagonist, subconscious. And the first level opens up in like a city level, there's a seaside level, and like two seaside theme, and like there's two other things, and there's a lot of different levels. Each one, the art style of the game is pretty insane too, sort of like twisted and dark, and you know, everything's like a perverted caricature of itself that looks creepy and off-putting and everything. But the core gameplay has you navigate these 3D worlds, and at specific times you crush the world into 2D. So you can be looking at from any of it from four different sides or from straight down, and when you crush it, suddenly everything becomes flat and you treat the game like it's a traditional 2D platformer. And then when you get move around in this 2D world and then you're done, you uncrush it or crush again, I'm not sure what the reverse is, and suddenly it becomes a 3D world and you find yourself in a whole different position. Now obviously the most simple application is like, for instance, if you know you've got a platform there and there's a platform way in the distance, so you align the camera so that you know your platform and the other platform are like really close to each other, then you crush the world and then you can suddenly they're right beside each other and you just walk across. But there's so many different ways this mechanic can be manipulated and turned around, and the game takes full advantage of it. To be honest, most of the earlier levels are pretty easy, but then towards the latter end of the game it certainly ratchets up a notch and you've got to start being challenged. What's more, there's also bonuses and challenges as well. So, and I've also got a trophy mode for each level where you have to try to make it through the level in the time limit using only a certain amount of crushes. And that is not easy. I mean, yeah. So the game is just, the game just is a good challenge. It's a puzzle. You have to navigate around your levels, connect a lot of these collectibles so the exit opens up, and then get to the exit. It's good flexible because obviously most basic, you just need to get to the exit. But if you're a completionist, a little like me, you'll get all the extra marbles and collectibles and jigsaw pieces, which will unlock extra concept art and stuff. And what's more, it's also got a nice little plot that stays in the background. Nothing revolutionary or anything, and a little dark. But we try to figure out as you're going through the Danny's mind in this real surreal blocky world, we try to figure out exactly what is causing him to not go to sleep. And it turns out there's a couple of little small little things, but obviously I won't spoil it for you. So Crush is, like I said, it's a good game. I haven't played the 3DS version right now, so from what I hear, they kiddified it a lot. You know, they made it less threatening, they made it more like kiddie like you know, Danny's not just like an old, you know, like a guy in his 20s, you know, it's a more brightly colored thing. And I don't know, I mean, I suppose I can understand marketing and stuff. So the point is, I kind of like the atmosphere of the original game. I think others do, not that I know them specifically, but obviously if you can't get the original PSP version, and that's understandable because I had to get it second hand, just go in and try to get the Crush 3D version for the DS, and it's, you know, I mean, and you know, you'll at least have the gameplay down and a couple of tweaks. I mean, certainly it's not the first time I've talked about it in a game on the show that's hard to obtain afterwards. But thanks. Let's move on. Okay, time to talk about that great big event that happened this week that I said I'd be talking about at the beginning of the show. Yes, I know, I said I'd be talking about something, but then made you wait until you listened to it. This is because I've been studying the techniques of professional DJs and find they always use this pointless sort of anticipation, keeping people tied to their radio stations and basically trying to manipulate them into listening to them the whole time. And I am nothing if not someone who will use such techniques. So, what's the event? The event is the Humble Indie Bundle 5. This is going to explain a lot. Essentially, five indie independent developed games Well, technically four, but with a fifth bonus one. Pay whatever price you want, and then you get a free are able to freely download them from the internet without any restriction. It's completely legal, of course. I don't advocate pirating games, although even if it's really hard to get the game otherwise, you know, you just have to make sure that, you know, you respect it and try to support the people who make the games. But that's a side issue. The point is, indie games or independent games are a little like indie cinema. As I've talked about indie games before, I play many tracks from them. And as I may have mentioned, about 5 years ago, the indie games scene started to take off. You know, it had been always around there in some form or other, but it started to take off and became a great bit of a success. Now, the Humble Indie Bundle was an example of indies really trying to take the spotlight. They took the first indie bundle. Was essentially one developer of an indie game going around and just trying to network with a few other indie game developers, and they arranged for five games to be put into a bundle, and instead of just giving them a discount, they said, okay, name your price. Literally, people would go to the page, decide to buy the game, and literally type in exactly what their price was. As long as it was above a cent, an American cent, mind you, so not just a euro cent, an American cent, they could get all of the games. And together, the games would have costed about $70. Although, you know, obviously different people would have, but that's what they would have were being sold for. They included quite a diversity of games. One was this nice bouncy platforming game. The other was a rabbit martial arts combat game called Lugaru. The other was Gish. I always meant to play music from Lugaru, but it just doesn't have music. I played music from Gish. And also the Penumbra games. I mean, like, it really impressed out. There was just a great bit of diversity from it on the bundle. So this got a lot of people excited. I mean, they ended up, the whole bundle ended, I mean, it wasn't just for the games as well. They also threw in two charities as well, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which defends digital rights, and also Child's Play, which was actually a gamers charity to help sick kids in hospital. And it was set up by two guys who make this, the Penny Arcade guys. They make a video game webcomic. So essentially, it was donating to charity, getting five games for whatever price you determined, getting supporting indie development, and also supporting, you know, DRM free. That's a whole side issue, but just basically no restrictions and being able to download them whenever you want. I mean, to this day, I can go online and I can download the games that I got from the first bundle. So this was hugely popular. It went from websites, it went through all the social networks, it was communicated. You know, gamers are a very networked bunch online. You know, if something really interests the gaming community and you put it in the right place and enough people see it, then it will just spread like wildfire. And this, my friends, was one of those things. So it was a massive, massive success, the first Humble Indie Bundle. They raised over $1 million, seriously, both for the charities and for the indie game developers. And these were guys who just made small games and put them on the internet. I think Penumbra was the only ones, you know, Penumbra made by Fictional Games, was the only ones that even like had an actual physical box release that you'd see in shops. And even in that case, I think their publisher kind of screwed them over and most of their support was coming online. I mean, these were guys who were just working hard with no guarantee of payoff, making basic fun games that were all a little different from what you normally get. I mean, Lugaru was kind of fighting, but it was different. Penumbra was kind of first person, but it wasn't a shooter. It was also atmospheric and a bit horror and story driven. I mean, all these games were just going off in a different direction, similar to what we know of, but not quite the same. And they were just very creative. Gish, like I said, I've already gone on about how you bouncing and jumping and sticking to stuff. So, I mean, a huge success to everyone involved. All these indie developers got to get huge amounts of got a lot of money, and a lot of people gamers got to play games they couldn't before. And what's more, this respected the gamer. This showed to the gamer, listen, we trust you. Gamers could have paid, like, you know, any amount, but they normally just, they could have paid 1 cent, but they nearly always just paid a fair bit of money, and they really wanted to support the developer, and there were a lot of great contributors. Well, fast forward, and to this week, they released the Humble Indie Bundle 5. There have been a lot of bundles since then. I'm not sure I could even cover it. They've also thrown in a couple of bonus bundles. And essentially, the games are incredibly impressive. I mean, it's funny I mentioned Penumbra because it's a in a way, Spiritual Succession. Look, it's made by the same guys, but also horror first-person shooter Amnesia: The Dark Descent is one of the games that is high quality. It's been mentioned everywhere. One of the biggest. There's also been Bastion, which is available on Xbox Live Arcade. Great graphics. A lot of people have talked about it. I haven't played most of these games. Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP also, and Limbo. I will, of course, which is also the latter of which is also on it. I think Swords and Sorcery is already on the iPad, and Limbo is on the Xbox Live Arcade. I'm sorry, I haven't actually played these games yet. I will certainly be rectifying that in time and probably playing their music tracks. Speaking of which, in the first Humble Bundle, they open source several of their video games. I'm going to have to cover open source in one of these episodes, but for this bundle, they've also, like they have in previous bundles, unleashed the soundtracks, not just to one game, but all of the games. So obviously that makes my job slightly easier when it comes to obtaining the tracks, because you won't believe how tricky it was to find the soundtrack for Crush. But of course, these games are hugely popular as well. These are just, it's amazing just how over time the quality is hugely improved, and they've just... And it's just, these are quite classic games. And remember how early on I said the first bundle raised like $1 million? Well, this one has already, only after about 3 or 4 days into it, has raised 2.5 million. Seriously. And and it's still got the same charities as well. Partially to Child's Play Charity and also to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Both great things, because digital rights are hugely part of... I actually haven't jumped onto the whole thing about digital rights, but sure, let's leave them for now. They affect us always, though. Trust me. They're affecting... With the world of computers, digital rights are becoming more and more important. But also, you know, of course, helping sick kids in hospital and giving them times to enjoy and play video games. That's something that's always worthwhile. But, it's just amazing that this thing has been so successful. I mean, and it's great because it's helping indie game developers and it's helping people who just want to just play good video games unhindered, just quickly download to their computer. These guys have done every effort they can to make things enjoyable for us, and I think that's always worth something. Okay, so what music am I going to play now? Well, obviously, as I said, I haven't played most of the games. But by a funny coincidence, just this week, I finished a game on the Xbox that is now available on the Humble Indie Bundle for Windows, Mac, and Linux. That's another great thing about the Humble Indie Bundle. They support all three computer platforms, Mac, Windows, and Linux. And I think that's great. And so for a couple of games, it's their first time being on Linux as well, which is great. And yes, this is one of the games was now released for them. It is a game called, well, have a listen to some of its tracks first. We'll be right back. And that, my friends, was the theme tune to the Meat Circus. Don't ask, it's kind of like the last level, so I don't want it to be spoiled too much. And it was composed by Peter McConnell, and it's from the game Psychonauts by Double Fine Productions. Now, normally when I mention a game studio, I don't mention who's running it or who's head of it, but screw it, this guy, Tim, was set up by Tim Schafer, who is a classic game developer and producer. He was behind part of the team behind the original Monkey Island games, and the stuff he's done with Double Fine Productions has been utterly amazing. And he's even in the intro theme tune, he's even in the promotional video for the current Humble Indie Bundle, which of course includes Psychonauts. By the way, if you want to try the Humble Indie Bundle and buy the package of games, including this game and others, just go to humblebundle.com. And of course, if you're listening to this for whatever reason long after the Humble Bundle has elapsed, just subscribe, because they'll probably be a next one, another one. This isn't exactly a promotion that runs out. And sometimes they Humble Bundles give you access to the games from a previous bundle. So if you missed this one, it mightn't be too late, but you never know. Psychonauts, boy, where do we start with this game? Like I said, Tim Schafer was developing a lot of games from LucasArts, and this is a game where you are basically playing as Rasputin, who basically wants to become a psychonaut, which is like this agent. This game is, which is basically this kind of like super special agent that can invade people's minds and use great deal of psychic ability. And he's basically going to this summer camp in order to become one, and which includes a wide, diverse range of characters and people and everything, and so we can train his psychic abilities. But then things start going weird with the camp and everything, and then things just start getting even weirder. It's got a surreal, twisted kind of landscape style to it, and the strongest part of the game is that you're actually able to access into the minds of different people. You've basically got this like little portable door, and you can slap it on the back of their head or their forehead and jump through it, and then pretty much you're in whatever crazy surreal landscape that the person's mind envisages. So if you've got like someone who's very neat and tidy, it's a clear checkerboard pattern. And I think the point everyone else points out is that there's one about the conspiracy theorist when you go into his mind, you see all these agents in dark suits talking about conspiracies, and then all these this twisted things where, you know, the road twists up and curves around upside down and everything's just confused and everything. And I think my favorite one, which not many people talk about, is basically where the game just starts making a bit of a parody of real-time basically war games, you know, where people move pieces around a board. It's hard to explain. The game kind of gets off to a bit of a slow start, but dear gosh, there are some damn good ideas in it, and it's a nice storyline too. Just remember to save before you reach the end, just as you're reaching the top of the climax, because sometimes there are some collectibles that you might miss otherwise. But the game is essentially amazing. It's a standard like platforming game. It takes a bit of, I remember when I was playing it first, I was going all excited, and then I went, wait a sec, these mechanics are like taken from like Jack and Daxter, and then and a bit of Sonic Adventure too, actually, because you're able to like grind these kind of rails and stuff. But I mean, sometimes, to be honest, I'll have to be honest, there are people who love this game to death, but I always find sometimes the gameplay, or actually what you have to do, I always felt was just a little short in this game, but it's still got some wild imagination, and I think that's what people are so desperate for, you know? I mean, a lot of gamers just love supporting Tim Schafer and Double Fine Productions, because they do some crazy stuff. They did Brutal Legend as well, which is also something out of here. But it's going to be a little... But unfortunately, it's sometimes hard to justify it, because when Psychonauts was originally released for like the Xbox and PS2, and I don't know, maybe the I don't know if it was for the other GameCube. I don't think it was. But when it was originally released for that console, I mean, it unfortunately didn't sell very well, and the publisher Majesco kind of got a little burnt, so it didn't quite work out that well. But it's, if anything, a game has got a cult following, and there are many games with cult following, but Psychonauts is certainly one of them. So you can not just get them on the Humble Bindi bundle, but I'm pretty sure that the Xbox 360 has like the you can buy it from the 360 under, I think, what's called the Xbox Originals Marketplace, where you're able to play old Xbox games on the modern Xbox. But so a lot of ways of playing it. It's kind of got a crazy humor, a lot of different abilities, a lot of work style put into it. And I think I'm going to end by playing one of its classic title and end theme tunes, also made by the same composer. So this has been also made by Peter McConnell. So thank you very much. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.